Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. Quick weather report while we get started here. Beautiful weather here in Los Angeles. I'm wearing short pants. Of course, I'm wearing a canvas plimsoll, Madras shirt, and a five-panel cap. That's an unusual choice for me. Anyway, let's get into our guests. Jordan Morris, not here this week. Jordan is in Austin, Texas, which, from what I understand, is different from the rest of Texas.
Weird.
That's what I'm told. I've been told. Anyway, from the Lady to Lady podcast, on my right, the great Barbara Gray.
Hello.
Hi, Beth.
Also
How
in
are
short
you?
Pants.
Yeah, looking great. Everybody's wearing short pants. Well, you're wearing more of a clam digger.
More of a clam digger. Yeah. I can roll them up into short pants even further. So we're kind of
options.
In solidarity.
Randy, can I ask you to just roll them right up into short pants?
Yeah, just rolling them all the way up,
also
showing some gams.
Also with us, Brandy Posey from the Lady to Lady podcast.
Hello.
It's a real – look, I don't mean to be rude to you guys. This is the B team. We got Colin Marshall on the boards today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's
Fernandez.
Second string here.
Yeah.
But you know what?
We're the underdogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like major league.
We're the little giants. Angels are in our outfield right now. We're every third act of every movie in the 90s.
Yeah, we're about to go through a montage, right? Or did we already go through it?
Christopher Lloyd's ghost is just hanging in a corner right now.
I the other day I watched the Gammas or whatever they're called. God damn it.
Yo Gabba Gabba?
From the movie Pitch Perfect 2.
The deltas.
Yeah. The delta gammas or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. The Bellas. They defeated Das Sound Machine, the evil German a cappella group in the movie Pitch Perfect 2. So I'm already in the mood.
I like that they're following the same thing as the Mighty Ducks movies. Like in the second Mighty Ducks movies, they defeated Russia. So now that there's like an international element in this one.
If there was a crossover Mighty Ducks.
Gordon Bombay became like the head of the...
He had to take over.
Wait, what guy? Is that a Mighty Ducks guy?
He's Emilio Estevez. He's like the coach.
Oh, okay.
He's the coach who they're like
the Bellas.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like, you're an alcoholic. Please teach this hockey team.
I had a real alcoholic baseball coach for quite a while.
I think a lot of people did, but they don't realize it.
Yeah. Well, I only sort of reverse engineered it from his kind of general inconsistency and the fact that his car only had one door.
Oh, no.
Yeah, with only one door on his car. How is that possible?
One door that worked or just one door?
Only one door. On one side, there was a door. On the other side, there was just an open space where a door should be.
Oh,
he
buddy.
He had children from the baseball team riding in a car that had one door on the driver's side and none door on the other side.
I want that story.
You could ride a motorcycle through his car if you were a really good motorcyclist.
Which is ironically how he lost the door in the first place.
His name was Tim, and he smelled like booze.
Do you know what you – I don't know if I would know that smell when I was a kid, just kind of like a general weird
– Yeah, but it's like a – it's – my parents didn't drink. Yeah. So it's a very distinctive thing. But my parents didn't drink, but my dad took me to a lot of AA meetings. So those two things.
So you knew that smell.
I knew that smell, but I didn't put it together that meant that he shouldn't coach a children's baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he was quite a good coach.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from Tim.
And he was Emilio Estevez, right? Yeah. He's just...
Yeah, it was Emilio Estevez.
He was doing research for his upcoming film.
God, that'd be wonderful, if Emilio Estevez. God, can you imagine how handsome he would be the whole time he's coaching?
So
the team?
Handsome,
just staring at the golden.
All the
skin.
Little girls would have weird crushes on him.
Yeah.
What is Emilio Estevez doing?
I think he owns a winery somewhere. I looked it up recently because when the whole Charlie Sheen thing went down, I wanted to know.
Oh yeah, somebody said that they went into his. Yeah, they went into his, like, bar.
More like
bars.
A winery. I'm
yeah.
Sort of hearing that guy's complaints.
Winery.
Emilio Estevez.
There is a Pitch Perfect 2 poster.
Why is Charlie Sheen famous? I'm not insane.
I know. So much for being the responsible older brother.
Yeah.
That's like classic sibling order is those two guys, right?
And the most extreme. And the junior is the becomes successful thanks to his impetuousness.
Mm-hmm.
Despite his,
yeah,
you know.
Wait, who is the Oh, Charlie Sheen.
Never mind. I assume Charlie Sheen's
younger. I was thinking there was a third one that I didn't know about. No. Is there another one? I guess there's just Dad.
Yeah, Martin. And he's just like, fuck all y'all.
But is Emilio Estevez his brother? I thought it was like his cousin or something.
No, him and...
Which one of them was in the Funky Punch?
I don't know.
Both of them.
Maybe. I don't know. I was born in 84. I don't
think
know.
Emilio Estevez is probably doing Christian movies, don't you?
It yes. feels that way. He has that feeling. I think he's out of the game, though. I think he really? Made that Mighty Ducks money and was like, peace. I'm going to own this winery.
He just has a giant mansion shaped like a duck.
Yeah, he just tripled
it's a V-shaped mansion yeah. after his most famous play.
Yeah. He just like goes opens a lot of car dealerships and like cuts ribbons and is like quack 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 what a savings like over and over again.
Can I tell you something about the Mighty Ducks that leaves me in awe?
Yeah.
The hockey team in Orange County in Anaheim, California was an expansion team that was owned by Disney. So step one, the first amazing thing is it's like 1996 or whatever. Yeah. They got together, the people from Disney that were in charge of running Disney's hockey team, all got together at a big board meeting. They said, what should we call our hockey team that will be competing with other hockey teams in a major hockey league?
Yeah.
And somebody raised their hand and said, the Mighty Ducks.
I forgot that they really made that into a team.
Yeah. It's real. They still exist.
And
oh, God.
And then so if one person raised their hand and said that, then a second person, presumably someone in charge of the meeting, banged a gavel.
Right.
Or blew an air horn.
Looked up from their minutes.
Rang a bell. Whatever symbol they had in their corporate culture to indicate, that's it.
Yay.
Yeah, we got it.
Yay
this
or
franchise
nay.
Is forever.
They burned a Mickey Mouse effigy, I think, is probably the sign that they're... A
smoke,
new business idea.
White smoke came up from the castle. Yeah. That's how we knew we had
the Mighty Ducks. Yeah. Even in the movie The Mighty Ducks, the premise of naming the team the Mighty Ducks
is
that
like
it's
a
an
joke.
Embarrassing
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
Real grown men who are at the top of their field, the field of ice hockey, sign contracts. Where at the top it said Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, and then a man gave them $3 million.
What other names are there, though? What are the other hockey team names?
There's the Blackhawks. There's the Canucks. There's
San Jose Sharks. They're all stupid.
I remember when the Sharks, I think, came around shortly before the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and I'm from the Bay Area, so I remember there was a big controversy because they wanted to call them – they had like one of those voting contests, and they wanted to call them the Blades.
Oh, okay.
But that was too gang-affiliated.
Yeah. I mean, that is a little gangy.
Gang
so it always has to be like a
it's
weird
like
a weird animal.
Era gang.
Yeah.
It's not like Pyru Crips or whatever. Are like,
right.
Yeah, we're going to call ourselves the Bleed.
Yeah.
And then they just get out a switchblade comb and comb their hair back.
I would love it. All their hockey sticks have a switchblade that pops out at the top.
But it is now 20 years after the Anaheim Mighty Ducks joined the NHL. They are no longer owned by Disney.
Yep.
They are still called the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Their mascot is still a cartoon duck face.
There was also a cartoon show of the Mighty Ducks. It was only on for a season or two, and they were cartoon ducks from space that came down. This is real. They were superhero ducks from space that came to Earth. Their spaceship broke, and they all played hockey, and like they lived in the hockey rink, and they were alien ducks, and they were
duck pond.
Yeah, the
Which
duck
is what they actually call an actual arena that cost hundreds of millions of dollars to build. The duck pond.
That's awesome.
I like it. I mean, it's not any weirder to me than the Utah Jazz. And I know that the Jazz started out somewhere else.
I mean, Jazz is a pretty interesting name.
What? It just
You're not a Jazz bow?
I was a jazz bow. I was a hardcore jazz bow.
Barbara knows everything about the Utah Jazz from like 1992.
From 1996.
Yeah.
95, 96.
Those are like those shorts.
I was obsessed with them.
One specific year, though.
Yeah, for 1 year.
What are we talking about? Well, who was where did your obsession
lie? Was
we're talking about John Stockton.
It was we're talking about Howard Heisley, backup point guard for John Stockton.
Oh wow, that's real specific.
I lived in Salt Lake City and I had a big old crush on him. But also I love the Jazz and I just anything I liked had to have like an element of having a crush on a boy.
Yeah. What was wrong with John Stockton?
I love John Stockton.
Fame starting point guard.
But Howard was the underdog. You know to live up to John Stockton, that's like a big deal. So I liked, you know, I went for him.
You want something that's attainable.
Also, yeah, he wasn't married.
When you were 10, your favorite band was The Replacements.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously.
I don't know. I like the idea that the Utah Jazz, when they, drop a three or whatever, everybody claps.
Yeah.
Applauding.
I like that.
Like, to practice their dribbling skills, they all play trumpets and stuff, like get their fingers real nimble.
Yeah, exactly. It keeps your diaphragm.
That would be amazing if they also played in a jazz band like during halftime.
We want to sign you, but how's your trombone skills?
I want to bring back jazz bows.
It's a good term.
Do you guys, not just the term, but the whole culture, the lifestyle. I want to be, I've decided...
No.
I'm going to commit myself to a hipster lifestyle circa 1960.
I could see you.
What does that entail exactly? A lot of snapping, I know that.
You wear a sharp suit.
Okay.
Or a sport coat with flannel trousers.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot of snapping.
Yep.
Is this like also beatnik or beatnik's different?
This is pretty similar to beatnik. I mean, beatniks were in the sort of mid-50s and were a little cooler than this.
What would you guys be in that arena of time? I feel like I would just be like the girl turning into a hippie pretty much.
I'd probably be a greaser, don't you think?
Yeah.
I'd probably.
Yeah. I would also be a greaser.
Yes. Oh, Brandy would for sure.
I would not be a hippie.
Brandy would be Rizzo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a greaser because I love to fight using snaps.
Mm-hmm.
What am I then? So what is the? I guess I'd be beatnik because that's what turned into hippies at that time, right? Or what in that time period was the pre-hippie?
The beatnik kind of split off into
just
both.
The bad kid, just the kid who gets pregnant. I don't know.
I think beatniks turned into like folkies, and folkies turned into hippies.
Okay. Yeah.
You'd be a juvenile delinquent, in the words of every John Waters movie.
One time, my childhood best friend asked his mom whether she and his dad were hippies in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And this, like, stricken look came across her face. Like, this was really important. Like, it was as though, like, 20 years from now, our children all asked us if we were hipsters.
Yeah.
Right.
And she went, well, no. We were bohemians.
Oh, perfect answer.
Oh, man. I want to.
Claudia.
I asked my mom that and she said no. And I was like, there's no question that you were hippies after looking at your pictures. Like, don't give me that shit. There's no possible way you were not hippies.
What's going on in the pictures?
I mean, like long blonde hair. My dad had long hair and like bell bottoms and just, it was very obvious what was happening. They would hitchhike all over the place.
Yeah, my dad had some rad outfits. My parents' like outfits back in the day were, I'm jealous, they were clothes horses. And then when I came along, they just stopped caring. And I was like, what happened to these stylish, beautiful people? Oh, I ruined your life. Cool. That's what happened. Got it. Cool. Yeah, my dad used to look like blonde Elvis, and now he looks like Kenny Rogers. Like, that's what happens.
I think that's just a dad thing. That just happens to dads.
Wait, your dad used to look like blonde Elvis?
Yeah, my dad has like the same face as Elvis. Like, and then he has like blonde. He had the same blonde hair, like with giant sideburns and everything.
So, but your dad can't have been old enough to have been blonde Elvis when it was appropriate to be blonde.
He's what? He's 63.
So that means he wasn't born until the early 50s.
Yeah.
He was
5 years
old when it was appropriate to look like Elvis.
Yeah, exactly. But then when he was in the 70s, he like looked like a young greaser Elvis.
That was a good combo.
It's a look he
all
went
of that.
For. Yeah, his like high school senior photo was just like this badass dude.
Babs, what do you think that you would be if it was 1960 right now? Well, I'm not talking about hippie times.
Yeah.
Talking about pre-hippie times.
Pre-hippie times. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, what was the coolest thing? Because I'd be that, obviously.
Yeah.
I'd be Puerto Rican.
Basically.
My understanding.
I don't know. I don't know if I would be... I feel like in my head there's only two. You're like either in the like good kids or the bad kids, you know? But I guess the greasers were kind of the bad kids, right?
Yeah.
So I'd probably be like, yeah, I think I'd probably be a greaser.
Whatever
chick.
I'd have to do to wear pants. I think that's what I would do. Those dresses always look so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom loves those dresses.
Really?
Yeah. My mom's commitment to crinolines runs deep.
Girls who commit to that, good for you. Because we did a show at the Pinup Girl clothes mm-hmm. store, and all the girls there, I was just like, I can't comprehend putting this much work into
it. It's at least 2 hours a day to leave the house.
When I'm at the Rose Bowl flea market, and I see there's still two vintage clothing costume communities in Los Angeles. One is the swing dancers from 1994.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
1995. Yep. They are sort of – they're so old at this point. No new people have joined that subculture.
No.
So the people who are still in that subculture are all 50-ish now. And they were grown-ups before. Like, it wasn't a subculture of 18-year-olds. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, I knew a lot of, like, kids in my high school that got into that trend.
Yeah, but I'm
– But are they still in it?
That's, like, 1997. That's what we're talking about when high school kids were getting. I'm talking about these. I'm talking about Bill Nye, the Science Guy, specifically.
Definitely.
those people, there's a certain – I kind of admire them.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are the rockabilly the rockabillies who are at least at the Rose Bowl flea market, 65% Latino.
Yeah.
That, I have to say, like, a chick in a rockabilly outfit is something of which I take notice.
Yeah. It's a good look.
I'm happily married, lady.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Something of which I take notice.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm not feeling great about myself, I throw up a pompadour and put on some red lipstick, and it fixes everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's not hard. That's all you have to do.
It's powerful stuff.
Yeah. I love it.
I just can't imagine committing to that every day. That just seems like
it's
a lot
so
to me.
It's so much work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
When I see those – because the thing is like I'll see, you know, a 24-year-old woman at the Rose Bowl flea market and it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The flea market is something that happens at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So they've been up since 4 a.m. preparing.
Yeah. Yeah. So they like, you know, drawing a line on the back of their nylons or the back of their leg to look like nylons, one or the other. I don't really understand.
No, a lot of them have a tattoo too.
Yeah, a lot of them get a tattoo of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is – I would never get that too, but it is one of my favorite tattoos is just like the line with like the bows in the back of your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not for me, but I respect that tattoo in a lady. It's a good one.
But you realize they're not drawing that line, that they buy them with the line in there. I'm just telling you that that's –
Yeah, it's an option you can.
That's a different thing.
No, it's the same thing.
I think I'm talking about this tattoo.
Okay, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. It's a fun tattoo. And also so much trust in a tattoo artist to get it perfectly straight up the back of your leg.
They're wearing heels. This is a walking-based activity these women are
wearing. I mean, anything heel. Uh-huh. I can't.
They've got red lipstick on and heels.
Sometimes I feel like as like a chubbier girl that I'm supposed to dress rockabilly because I see a lot of chubbier girls do that. And I'm like, am I not doing this? Am I allowed?
It is one of the most flattering looks if you were like a curvy lady.
It is.
That you have in your arsenal.
But I just, it's too much.
Yeah. It's just a lot of work because you can't half-ass it.
Yeah, you can't half-ass it.
If you half-ass it, it looks like you're running from somebody because you're like, why aren't you finished?
Here's what I think they do when they're half-assing it. Mm-hmm. They still do their hair.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they just have their hair up in a snood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is a snood?
Snood is like one of those, it's like, you know that kind of hat that you wear to prepare food in a commercial environment?
Yeah.
It's like the classy version of that for a lady from the 40s.
Well, I got to look up snoods.
It's like a thing you know, if you imagine you put your hair up in your head in a knot and then there's like a net that goes over that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a snood.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be confused with a snooze. Which is some kind of Scandinavian tobacco pouch. So they got that going on up top.
Mm-hmm.
Do the makeup.
Yeah.
The makeup is done.
Jesse has looked into this very.
But the outfit, usually they'll break it down to just like white shirt and blue jeans and heels.
Mm-hmm.
They will not be wearing heels, though.
No.
And they're you can't do the Rose Bowl flea market without putting in 2 miles.
No.
That's like the short version of going to the Rose Bowl flea market is 2 miles of walking.
Yeah. It's a day. You got to have some
We tried
nuts
to
in
do
your purse.
on the podcast we we were going to do a thing where we were going to wear heels every day for a week. And yeah. We did not do it.
No,
we're like, nah, I'm good.
How many days did you make it to?
Nothing. We didn't do it. We just talked about it.
We talked about it and then chose not to because we're like, this will end all of our relationships.
Yeah. It would
be
fun.
Let's do this right now.
Okay.
The three of us.
Okay.
All right. 1 week.
I can't. I'm in a big ladies shoe figuring out mode because my wife prefers to wear sandals all the time.
Yeah.
And is always barefoot in the house. I'm almost never barefoot in the house because my feet get cold. But she's always barefoot and she always wears sandals. And she went to the doctor recently. She had plantar fasciitis from not having any arch support.
Mm. Yeah.
So she has to wear arch support shoes all the time now. And she got these – she talked about this on her show, One Bad Mother, so I feel like I'm not speaking out of school. And she's very self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And she's beautiful, and I love her very much. She bought these flip-flops that are like arch support flip-flops.
Oh, and they're like the ugliest things
they're
ever.
They're literally the ugliest things ever.
And orthopedic shoes are hideous.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. Like, they're not even – they don't even have the charm of like an SAS comfort shoe, like a nurse shoe,
right. Uh-huh.
Because they're flip flops. Only the bottom is all weird and shaped up of rubber, and the top is made of like aquamarine neoprene.
Oh man,
they're genuinely grotesque, and I don't begrudge my wife wearing them because she needs. It was very painful when she's not, and she likes to have a shoe she can just slip onto her foot.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta figure something out. We gotta figure this out.
I don't know how they haven't
sneakers. She didn't really have sneakers, so we were buying her sneakers.
Oof.
I don't know how they haven't been able to figure out across there where they don't have to look hideous.
Just a decent looking sandal.
My mom bought me some sandals that were really comfortable, but they were the same thing. And I was like, I can never wear these. These are awful.
For real, we bought her Birkenstocks,
mm-hmm.
and the weird shoe foot. Shape on the bottom of Birkenstocks is different from the foot shape of her foot.
Ugh.
And so it didn't work. I was like, look, we're just going to do this. We're going to go full on Birkenstock, fucking normcore mom.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to do it. You're just going to wear yoga pants and Birkenstocks all the time and just be super Venice, California.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't
not
happening.
An option.
What's an alternative to a Birkenstock? Earth shoes?
I mean, I personally bought these flip-flops at a water park. So,
okay.
And they've been good to me.
Is it worth the price? Should we
go to San Dimas?
Like Raging Waters?
Yeah, Raging Waters.
Yeah. Get
break,
a pair there.
Break the Target sandals you are wearing and then be forced to buy these.
Yeah.
What do you pay for a flip-flop at the water park?
I think these were like $15 or something.
Yeah.
No, that's not bad.
Yeah. Peace signs. It's great design.
I have a pair of flip-flops. And I have literally had them since I was 16 years old. I bought them at the Nordstrom Rack.
Mm-hmm.
And I wear them half a time a year.
Yeah.
I would say is the approximate amount.
Half a time?
Yeah,
half a time a year.
That's like where I wear regular shoes until I get to a situation where I definitely have to wear flip-flops.
Mm-hmm. You're just like so anti-flip-flop.
I'm not on board with flip-flops at all.
I'm half...
Or for a lady, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not.
For a man. I don't like seeing a man foot in the world sometimes. It can be a lot.
Although, can I say this?
Yeah.
Granted, it's my show. My name is literally in the title. So I can pretty much say anything.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can say it.
Can you not say it? I mean.
Got to get
out. All right, go for it.
I don't want to explode right here in the booth. I'm all about wearing huaraches right now.
Ooh. What is that?
That's a Mexican woven sandal.
Oh.
Yeah, those look pretty comfy.
And here's the thing. I got a big foot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to brag, but I'm a big man.
Yeah.
Big foot, big man.
And I, unfortunately, Mexico is not a land of tall men.
No.
And so you cannot buy, if you go to a place that sells huaraches in Los Angeles, you can't buy them in my size.
Yeah.
They stop at like 9 or 10.
Do they just sew on a couple extra inches on the back for you? Or
cut off the back and just put a milk crate in there?
Yeah.
I had to – so my mom spends a lot of time in Guadalajara in Mexico. And I was like, Mom, I want some huaraches.
Ooh, special mission.
And she went to Mexico with an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with my foot traced on it. And went to the huarachero, the guy who makes huaraches, and brought home a couple pairs, and they totally fit.
That's awesome.
Now it's my whole lifestyle. I'm just like a chill-ass surfer dude from San Diego.
That's awesome, bro.
I just got rid of...
Hang loose.
I just got rid of, like, everything I own, and I only kept, like, three pairs of shoes because that's
you,
all I wear.
By the way, do you guys like Jordan's out of here for 20 minutes and already it's just outfit talk?
That's all we talk about.
Yeah.
Why did you get rid of everything that you owned?
I did that, like, the life-changing magic of tidying up or whatever. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah. That involves special ways to fold things.
Yes.
And you
the
say goodbye to things.
The folding thing is whatever, but you get rid of a lot of things. You say goodbye to a lot of things.
So this is a book. This is a book written by a Japanese woman that I read about in New York Magazine, which has a system for, like, you put all your books in the center of your room.
You basically put – it goes like clothes, books, electronic – I can't remember the order. But you leave like photos and personal stuff to the end. And you put clothes – yeah, everything you own in the middle of the room. And you only – you hold every item. And if it sparks joy, you keep it. And if it doesn't, you get rid of it.
Now, joy sparking, does that mean the physical arousal?
Basically, yeah.
Do you get
become engorged?
Yeah, you become engorged. Everything gets hard on you, and then you decide to keep it or whatever.
You just check for nipple stiffness.
Yeah. Check your nips.
This cardigan makes
Hold
me horny.
It, check
I'm going to keep
nips.
It.
Hold on, nip check.
And then you leave a big pile.
I'm ready that we have the same nip check. It falls, crossing over with a flat hand.
Yeah.
Going up and down in a wiping motion.
Exactly.
Going,
Got it.
Sandpaper?
Yeah. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, so I don't know. I did that and I got rid of a lot of stuff and now I don't have any shoes.
Yeah, I walked
what
into Barbara's room.
Joy? Mm-hmm.
What?
What didn't
a lot
didn't
of things.
Joy?
A lot of stuff that I've kept that was like, someday I'll fit into these again. That's been like 10 years and it's like, well, let's just stop thinking that's going to happen. And also it's like if I did like, I don't know, whatever, lose weight and want to fit into that, I would buy new I would definitely want to go on a shopping spree. So
I have a pile of clothes that I don't know what to do with. I have things like I have my t-shirt from the very first podcastathon that I went to, and it's like a giant XL white t-shirt that says I survived podcastathon, and I've never worn it.
Right.
But
you don't want to get rid of that.
Yeah. I just have a box that I'm like, here's weird XL t-shirts.
There's a company that makes blankets from them.
I don't know that I want that on a blanket. That's
I know, but what else are you going to do with it? It's just going to be in a box forever.
Yeah,
you really
I know.
Want to sleep
I know.
With Matt Belknap?
No.
Matt Belknap's a wonderful guy. Don't get me wrong.
They're a delight. I mean, that's one of the few podcasts that I actually listen to on a regular basis. That's like a comedy podcast, but it is like, I don't want to look at this every day, and I've never worn it.
Yeah.
And I have a box
a few.
Of that
I kept
stuff.
About six shirts like that, but mostly I got rid of
anyway,
everything.
Moral of the story, go to MaxFunStore.com.
Yes.
Pick up some MaxFunStore.
Get some new stuff.
Yeah.
Get some new stuff in the store right now.
Mm-hmm. That all will spark joy, I can guarantee
I don't know
you that.
I don't know if I could get rid of my clothes.
Yeah.
I call my clothes, but to be fair, I have an entire wall's worth of clothes and then another closet's worth of clothes.
That's
and
a lot.
Also a dresser of clothes.
Do you switch them out for seasons?
I do. So I also – granted, in addition to those things that I just listed,
yes.
I also have an entire rack of clothes and like four or five like of those Costco plastic boxes of clothes.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
In a seasonal – and what's hilarious is – I do a seasonal switch and live in a city where there are no seasons.
Yeah, you don't need it.
No.
Sometimes you can trick yourself into thinking that you have new clothes, though, by just putting stuff away for a couple of months.
I probably have 15 sweaters. I probably wear a sweater 5 times a year.
Yeah, I have the exact same thing. I have a lot of winter stuff because I like a winter look.
No,
it's so good.
Well, we also we get away with it, though, because we do travel and stuff. So it's like you are going to be in other places that will be cold sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
I literally just bought a pair of I like talked myself into buying a pair of lined boots. You know, like
really heavy duty,
like gentleman style boots. Mm-hmm. Not like I'm not talking about like snow boots. I'm talking about like gentleman style boots.
Yeah,
but with a shearling lining.
Oh man!
And that's a completely essential garment for me to own here in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah,
so I just like now I have to take trips. In to New York in specifically October because you can't wear them in the snow.
No, got to justify them somehow.
It's got to be cold
only in the fall
to wear a lined boot. but not so cold that it's snowing and wet and so you're ruining them.
Mm-hmm.
What is my life? Who am I?
You're Jesse Thorne.
Who are you?
Every time I put on shorts, I resent it.
I was surprised to see you in shorts today.
No, but it's
how can
it's
you not wear shorts?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fashionable short, but you just don't. You strike me as a guy that would not wear shorts.
I know.
Specifically because you hate shorts.
Thing. I literally, I'm from San Francisco.
Yeah,
and as a child, you know, until I finished and I went to college in Santa Cruz, basically literally until I moved to Los Angeles. There was never a point in my life where I owned more than one pair of shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that time, I literally owned no shorts.
Yeah.
And was fine with that.
Yeah.
100% comfortable not owning any shorts at all.
Yeah.
I think maybe I got like my first pair of shorts in since I was a little kid when I did an internship in Washington, D.C. in the summer.
Yeah.
Where it's in.
Yeah. You can't. There's no option.
It's
no,
a that's, horrific nightmare.
That's where I'm from. It's super. Yeah,
oh
it's
God.
A swamp. It's built on a swamp.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
if you did not grow up in humidity, no. Coming into it as an adult, it will ruin your life.
God. Oh my God.
It's the worst year of your life.
Dear God. and then I moved to Los Angeles, and I realized I was just like, I am going to have to learn. I'm going to have to teach myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of the things that I had to just accept.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't. I knew I just couldn't live my life being a dick to myself about the fact that I needed to wear shorts because it was so hot outside.
Yeah. My boyfriend is still doing that. He's from Chicago and he has a really hard time with the delightful winters that we have here because he's like, I'm going to wear this Carhartt jacket. And I'm like, no, but it's going to be 70. And he's like, no, it's just cold now. And I'm like, no, but it's going to be – you're going to be sweating and dying outside. And he doesn't care. He will layer up because he's like, no, it's February and this is what you do in February.
Yeah, that's what that's the life I want to live. Although I couldn't do – the thing is,
mm-hmm.
when you're from San Francisco, your level of weather pussiness – and pussies are very strong. I don't know if you guys knew that. So it's not really
–
it's a bad word to use to describe weakness.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're fine. Don't worry. We're going to pass.
Yeah. Hey,
this is for the people who are sending me emails right now.
We just got an email.
Oh,
we,
man. Oh.
You don't want to be – there is no greater weather scrotum than a person from San Francisco because – If it goes below 60 or above like 76, I get very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like in that range, I'm fine. Like basically any situation in which I could wear a light coat, a light sweater, or a sweatshirt is a situation
that's
where
perfect.
I'm comfortable.
That's
anything hotter or colder than that, I'm miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't resent – you don't resent shorts because they're comfortable, right? Don't you feel – good in that. I don't like wearing pants.
Asshole.
No, it looks
no, you
good.
Don't. No, you don't. You're good.
Thank you.
Just embrace
you,
it.
Ladies. That really means
You're very put together very well right now. Your shorts match your hat. Your shirt matches your shoes.
It's like a two-toned.
I really appreciate you. You girls look gorgeous.
Glorious.
That's not true.
We just had dance practice, so we get enough.
The only person here who looks shitty is Colin Marshall.
Yeah.
We'll be back in just a second.
Hey, you like t-shirts, right? How about a mug? Are your walls looking a little bare? Visit MaxFunStore.com and cover all of these bases and more. We just added some amazing new shirts and posters, so visit today and outfit your home and torso with the freshest MaxFun merch. MaxFunStore.com.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Brandi Posey, Sassmaster Classic.
Oh, no, I'm Barbara Gray. pizza breath. I don't have one.
Pizza breath sounds like something a middle school bully would call you.
Pizza breath.
I ate pizza for breakfast. That's all I can think of.
It's good, right?
It's so
delicious.
Good. Every time I eat pizza,
mm-hmm.
It's a surprise.
I'm just like, fuck. Pizza's yeah. so fucking good. No wonder it's so popular.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to DeSano?
No. Is that a really good local pizzeria?
Yes.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be an episode of Jordan Jesse Go without a restaurant recommendation that's not actionable for 95%.
Please, if you're ever in L.A., do nothing but go there. No, it's really good.
DeSano's Pizza Bakery.
Guys, I actually have a health concern.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suffering from an unidentified abdominal pain.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay, describe this.
Do you think I might have been
stabbed? Describe, is it
the tiniest knife in the
world. Do you think it's a muscle pain or like an organ?
Yeah. Does it feel like it's inside of the abdominal wall or on the abdominal
wall? It's not in my tum-tum.
Okay.
It's below my tum-tum.
If you raise your arm, does it hurt? Does it hurt it?
No.
Okay.
So it sounds like it's a insides.
Yeah. You think it's a goiter? What is a goiter?
I don't know, actually.
I know,
is it like a boil?
I know this is incorrect, but it feels like a big mole. I know that's not right, but it feels like.
I don't think it's a big mole.
It's
Are we talking about goiters?
Goiter.
Or
no.
A goiter feels like a disgusting mole that's on a face that you can't look away from.
Maybe
that's
it is. Me and Brandon have talked about this a lot recently, but it might be a twin that you.
Yeah, you might have absorbed your twin that you absorbed as a child.
And I just never identified it.
Yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm.
It might be starting to move around.
Oh, you think it just came to life?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or
you think it got excited because I ate some particularly spicy al pastor the other day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly.
Definitely.
Here are the possibilities. Mm-hmm. Number one, of course, is going to be cancer.
Yeah. Always with a bullet,
always.
Number one.
Top of the line. Because cancer can strike any part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Marley died of foot cancer. So, really, you can... Cancer could happen anywhere.
And definitely if you have any pain anywhere, immediately think it's cancer.
Yeah.
Because
that's a good, safe bet.
Yeah.
And you should definitely WebMD your symptoms to confirm cancer.
Mm-hmm. You know what they always say? Take it to 10.
Mm-hmm.
That was what my mom always said. In a crisis, take it to 10.
Hell,
take
crank
it to
11.
Take it to 10.
Okay. So that's number one. Could be cancer.
Could be cancer.
My wife told me that she doesn't think it's appendicitis. Because she got appendicitis. Mm-hmm. I don't know if either of you have suffered from that condition.
No.
She got appendicitis once in the mountains of Northern California in a cabin.
Oh, no.
And had to be driven 2.5 hours in an ambulance to Reno.
Oh.
Because it was late at night and there were no surgeons at the hospital. In the mountains of Northern California.
That sounds like the story of when Teddy Roosevelt became president and he barreled down the hill to get sworn in at 4 a.m.
she was rough riding.
Yeah.
So she said that when she got appendicitis, it was a generalized intense pain. It was not a pain that built.
Okay.
So that's why I'm
yours is building?
Has it gotten worse? Does it hurt when you breathe? When you just did that hurt?
24 hours I've had this pain.
Okay. Has it been about the same the whole time?
Similar.
Okay.
This happens to me all the time and then it just goes away.
I think you could just be getting older. Like that might just be
You think this is
natural
this
aging.
Is a physical manifestation.
What organs
of
are
my
over there?
I don't even know. Mortality?
Yes. Have you been contemplating death recently? That could be what's going on.
You know what? Honestly,
uh-huh.
I've gotten pretty good at not contemplating death.
No, well.
I feel like that's one of my big achievements as an adult.
Good job.
Like when I was 15 mm-hmm. or 19, I was terrified by death regularly.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'm totally the opposite. I was so carefree, and now I'm like, oh no, it's so near.
When you were a teenager, you thought you were immortal. That's why you didn't use a seatbelt. Yeah. Drive defensively.
Exactly.
You thought you could use as many hard drugs as you wanted.
Yeah.
From pot cigarettes to
mm-hmm.
popping pills.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know
it's
that
all coming
soda
out my bio.
Is a drug? Coca-Cola is a drug.
Yeah.
I learned that from a policeman at my school in fifth grade. Seemed like the wrong lesson for him to
The
be
same
teaching.
Thing when they told you about the guy who peeled his skin off like an orange or whatever.
What?
Whoa.
Well, that, whoa. Tell me more.
What? Did a man...
The DARE officer.
When you were in fifth grade, Eli Roth.
The DARE officer came in seventh grade and told us that doing meth or something made this guy peel off his own skin.
Salt
like
Lake
an
City doesn't fuck around with their DARE
they do
program.
Not.
Holy hell! Wow. Did they have pictures?
No, he didn't have pictures of that. I can't remember. That's the only thing I really remember. I mean, obviously it stood out.
Oh, man.
That's a good warning for kids, though, right? That'll keep you from doing some shit.
Kind of sickening and terrifying.
Oh, boy.
I didn't do any hard drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it was already Salt Lake. They were already not doing any good drugs.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You definitely shouldn't do. Like, the evidence is in. You shouldn't
Oh,
do
my
meth.
God. Can I say how much I love looking at those faces of meth things?
The before and afters?
The before and afters?
What is going on here? This is my show, and it's completely out of control.
No.
It's off the rails. My show, at first...
We can talk about shorts again.
Mining rail cars heading down a hill.
As you talked about peeling skin off.
And now it's jumped the tracks, but it's still going.
Yep.
It's really enjoyable. Faces of meth, it's like... It's these, I don't know.
It's mugshots.
It's mugshots through the years of people who've had meth problems and how, like, they kind of look normal and now what has happened to them because they've done meth forever.
You see them over the course of, like, 10 years.
You just do that when you're thinking, maybe I should do some meth.
Yeah. Or I'm, like, looking for, like, makeover tips or, you know.
Like, it doesn't have to be crystal meth.
Yeah. Just speed. It can just be a pill.
A quartz meth.
Just classic greenies.
Yeah.
Like a baseball player from the 60s.
Mm. Speaking of meth, there's some, like, hardcore, like, Breaking Bad action happening across from my house. There's a guy that lives there that has, like, always been, had lots of people coming at all hours of the night. And then the other morning at, like, 8 in the morning, there was a guy out there yelling at a younger guy, being like, "You gotta find it, man!" Like, and the guy was looking through his car, and he's like, "Ask your lady!" And he like goes to talk to the woman. And I was just like, "I don't know what's going on, but this is not good."
That's like the place. There was an old abandoned house down the street from my old place. I used to live in Koreatown, and a bunch of meth squatters moved into it, and they ran a yard sale 24/7 out on their front lawn. But they had a sign that said "Bazaar" above it.
Oh, of course.
About 16, 18 hours a day, it was a front lawn, and about 6 hours a day, it was a front yawn.
lots of front
yawning going on there.
Although,
want to buy a cinder block? I found.
Oh, man. Although maybe not, because they were on meth, so I don't know if you yawned or meth.
Yeah.
It was just garbage. They were just selling garbage. They were selling bed bugs to people. Do you want bed bugs here? Buy anything that we have.
Would you like a roly-poly?
Yeah.
Roly-poly bug.
Oh, those are cute. If bed bugs looked like that, I'd be okay.
So my third guess for this unidentified pain is that I have...
I said third guest for this.
No. So we got cancer. Number one, most likely.
Appendicitis.
Number two, most likely, is appendicitis. Mm-hmm. Number three, intestinal blockage.
Yeah.
But guys, I don't mean to be vulgar, but I use the bathroom comfortably.
Yeah. But you just talked about that spicy al pastor.
I was blaming. So initially, I thought it was a response to having eaten too much adobo. You guys know how that is, right?
Yeah.
You go to the Filipino restaurant, you're fucking up that adobo.
Yep, it'll happen.
They just give you a whole bowl full of adobo, and it's only one of your two items, and then you see the plantains. You're like, hey, can I get some fried bananas, too?
Mm. Oh, God, I want those.
Yeah.
I know, they're good.
They're so good. I feel like you need to go on a very extreme cleanse to rule out all of these possibilities, just in case.
What constitutes an extreme cleanse?
All
cleansing is extreme to me because toxins aren't real.
I know. Either the spicy lemonade or drink nothing but green stuff.
Well, how will that determine?
I don't know. It'll clear you out completely. I want to bring you to the brink of death, and then maybe that'll keep your mind off of what's happening here, and that'll just heal up on its own.
Can I give you guys a pitch real quick?
Pitch it,
please.
Meth cleanse?
Hey, yeah.
That's fun.
I like that.
We got to get, what's that blonde woman with her own newsletter from movies?
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Yes.
We got to get Paltrow hooked on meth.
Yeah.
Now, doing that thing I did, the tidying up thing while on meth, I think would be a perfect combo. You'd get that done pretty quick.
I think the main problem would be you would get that surge of joy from, like, everything.
Yeah.
Eventually, you would have gone through all of your possessions, and you'd just be sticking a fork in an outlet to get the surge of joy.
Surge of joy.
Let's get Teresa on the phone. Get her to buy you some meth while we're recording the podcast.
I don't think I could do that folding or any of that shit.
Oh, it's really easy.
I love my possessions.
What? The folding's not hard.
I fucking love my possessions.
Yeah.
And I hate folding.
I do too. But I also probably own way less clothes than you. I barely had any clothes to fold. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have – are they all hung up since you don't like folding? Everything's on a hanger?
I mean, I'll fold my blue jeans but very haphazardly.
Okay.
And I shove my underpants and socks into a – literally into a cooler. A cooler in a closet.
You like nice. cold
like
undies?
It's like a cool cooler. Nice. It's not like an igloo that I bought at the Long's Drugs.
It's like an old-timey.
It's like a chrome 60s.
Is this your – but is this nice. Your like key for keeping cool in the summer? You wear cold underwear?
A chilled pair
There's
of –
There's no ice in the cooler, Barbara. Let's be
but
clear.
But I think that would be not a bad –
It's not like I've – It's not like –
You know, like Kramer
like
the with the oven?
Is half full of underpants and half full of MGDs.
You just have a mini fridge full of socks in your closet.
Pop one open.
Yeah.
But yeah, almost – I mean, you know, we're talking about – you're looking at a dress trouser.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a shirt that's been ironed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I iron my own clothes.
I figured you would.
See, I don't have anything that needs – I have one thing that can be ironed. I just am not a
– I don't think Jordan owns an iron. I know lots of people. I feel like there are lots of adults in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My in-laws don't own an iron.
Wow. That's hardcore.
They're grown-ups. They're professionals.
Yeah. Boomers should all have irons. That feels correct.
Get an iron.
Yeah. Come on.
They're not expensive. They make things flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the role of an iron in your household.
I don't want to see those rumples in your clothes.
Can I tell you what,
though,
Barbara? You have this Japanese woman telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have this woman named Cheryl Mendelson telling me what to do.
Sheryl Sandberg.
She wrote this. Yeah, Sheryl Sandberg. Absolutely.
Just telling you to lean in.
Yeah. I like to think of myself as a fifth wave feminist. The fifth wave is dudes.
Yeah.
It's just dudes who are imagining themselves to be.
I have to say what I thought lean in was, which I've told Brandy, I didn't know what it was about, and I thought it was literally like, lean in, show your cleavage, and then you'll get to the top.
Yeah.
Like, literally lean in.
I don't get, you guys got what it takes in that department. I don't got what it takes. That's why I'm stuck here.
We can all lean in.
At the lower echelon of public radio.
You've got a
mid-tier of comedy podcasting.
You've got to watch some RuPaul's Drag Race, get your shading game on. You could shade in a pair of.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
I had this book called Home Comforts. God, I love this book. Here's the thing.
Tell us about
it. This book does not have any systems in it.
Okay.
So it is not a system by which to live your life. It is just a woman who wrote a book who will comfort you in any time of domestic difficulty. There is a chapter in this book for anything that could happen in your house. There's literally a chapter about what kind of insurance you should get. But in addition, there's like a chapter that says every kind of way to get stains out of something. And it's what's great about it is not just a made up.
Yeah.
Like it's not like she doesn't just say like, well, pour salt on it or like feed it to a cat and then it'll, you know, or like whatever the
right.
Like, have a dog walk over it and shake it three times.
She's not a witch is what
you're
saying.
She's not a witch.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly. And it is
a witch named Cheryl.
The level of comfort. Like, like from Shakespeare.
Yeah, you know.
Eye of Newt. Witch named Cheryl.
Yeah. Cheryl, can you get me some more bat wings?
Just give me a second, Phyllis. By the way, Cheryl is played by Paul Lynde in this scenario.
Yep.
I tried to do a middle-aged, mid-century woman's voice, and I just came out sounding like, oh.
Give me a second!
Cheryl!
They need to know how to get dog stains out of the carpet.
I'm on a panel show in the 70s! So this woman, like, oh God, it is so, like, she tells you, like, just the other day.
Yeah.
I had never had there's so many things in my home that I've never been responsible for before because I've never, my parents never owned a home.
Uh-huh.
And I had never owned a home until a year ago or whenever it was that I bought my house.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago, I guess. And so, like, I'll just open to the chapter on – there's like a beautiful chapter on air filters.
Mm-hmm.
Like what amount of air filtering is reasonable and what's silly?
Yeah.
Like, oh, great. I'll see what Cheryl has to say in her wonderful book, Home Comforts. Like, what kind of bed sheets should you buy? Okay.
I can't imagine looking this. I would just Google all of these.
Oh, but it's way better than Google because it's elegantly presented.
She's
a lovely writer.
Yeah.
And it's not hysterical or – like, when you Google it, you're just going to get a bunch of Ask Yahoos.
Yeah, yes, that that's true. The thing.
Ask Yahoo.
Ask Yahoo's. Very good.
Air filters are owned by the Illuminati.
Okay, here's
the
question. Does she tell
ever.
You what to do if a spider travels from another country and then infests your basement?
Oh, you have a spider invasion?
No, like arachnophobia. That was my point. Like if you find out that there's a big spider nest.
What if you find out that you bought this house, but it turns out to be a real money pit?
Mm-hmm.
Ah!
Cheryl goes to the movies.
Oh my
That's
God.
Her second book.
I made out with a guy who's that was his favorite movie.
The money pit?
Favorite movie.
Wow.
And we watched it and I was like, this is awful.
When did you make out with him? Before or it was after you got that revelation?
1985.
It was a long time ago.
I like the idea that you're taking makeout applications and you're like looking at your favorite movie, The Money Pit. Well,
I had never seen it before
Hanks
and
likeable.
I went and hung out with him and we watched it and I think I just made out with him so I didn't have to watch the movie because it was so bad.
So you started watching it and midway through?
I got so thrilled
by the sight of Chevy Chase's blundering. Is it Chevy Chase?
No, it's Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. It's a Tom Hanks film. Yeah. So it's not as good as I remember it.
I mean,
I haven't watched it since I was a child.
It was really bad.
What is good? Fletch. Fletch is good.
Suburbia. Is that the name of the other Tom Hanks one where he?
No, that has a more complicated.
The Burbs. That one holds up.
I mean, Burbs is good.
The Burbs holds up.
Yeah, Burbs is really fun.
But Money Pit does not, and we made out on one of those banana chairs that rocks back and forth, you know.
Wait, a banana chair?
Is that what they're called?
Back and forth?
They were like those weird video game chairs that so you know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, so
like,
it's a chair that just kind of goes down the rocker. I don't know how to describe it to you.
I think they are called banana chairs.
A banana chair for video games?
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't.
You're
look
too
like
classy.
A banana.
You don't know about any of this stuff.
It's like.
We made out it under his Xbox.
It's like a rocker. It's like as though this chair was just on the ground.
It's like
while we were making out, he sucked down some gamer grub.
It's like one of those Skecher shoes that rolls the bottom except as a chair.
Okay, so I know what you're talking. It's like if you imagine the chair, the seat from a race car, but it's put down on the ground.
Yeah, on a Skecher shoe. Yeah,
there's no shoe. It's not
forth.
like you're not like driving on it.
You know
it?
Those ones that are like rounded
the
at the
Joe
bottom?
Joe Montana kind?
Is that what they are?
The kind that's for Joe Montana.
I don't know
nurses?
What's going on.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. The ones
like
that.
Middle-aged Filipina nurses?
Yeah, that roll in the bottom. Oh, they're the grossest shoes. Just be glad your wife doesn't have those.
That's dramatically worse.
Yeah.
That is significantly worse.
Those sound cool. I'm actually surprised I don't own a pair.
They seem cool to you?
Yeah.
You get wheelies.
We call wheelies.
Yeah. Wheelies are a whole
These
different thing.
These flip-flops have wheelies on them.
Man, I hate a kid. Like a smug kid with wheelies makes me so angry in a mall. It's filled with rage.
Yeah. Have fun not roller skating right now, you fucking asshole.
So like, this is the best day of your life, kid. You get used to it. It's all downhill from here.
I'm totally going to birth some like bully kids who wear wheelies.
Just a gang of wheelies.
Oh, yeah.
It's the worst gang.
I have a question for you guys. This came up for me earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
I did some estate sailing today.
Oh, nice.
I had a really nice time estate sailing. Got myself a Vanity 6 record.
Ooh.
A couple of camera tripods.
Nice.
A cartridge bag for if I take up shotgun shooting.
Sure.
Yeah. A variety of different things
while
I was estate sailing. Mm-hmm. The thing that tempted me the most, there was a garage sale across the street from one of the estate sales I went to, and it just had four boxes of baseball cards.
Okay.
And there are baseball cards from, I would say, 1987 to 1990.
Okay.
Which is when I was 6 to 9 years old and was deeply engaged in baseball cards.
Yeah.
And there was four long boxes of them, and the total price was $5.
Wow.
And it took so much fucking focus for me to drive my body away from those boxes of baseball cards. Let's be clear. worthless baseball cards.
Yes.
Yes.
$5 was $5 more than their market value.
Yeah.
But, oh boy, did I want to buy baseball
cards. What in your head, like, what were you, what would you do with them?
Look at them.
Yeah.
Like, flip through them.
Yeah, but just that's, like, you could, there. You did that at the garage sale and then you're done.
Oh, I didn't want to fuck with their baseball cards. They were, in, yeah. They were packed in boxes.
Oh, so. Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah, they're all put away.
The thing that I have to fight the urge to do once every year, I would say, I spend a lot of time on eBay because I'm picking out clothes for a feature on my menswear blog, Put This On, where we recommend clothes.
Yeah.
And so I spent a lot of time on eBay, and it is so hard for me not to just type in unopened wax box, which is the packs of baseball cards, and then just like 1987 Tops, 1989 yeah. Score, because they cost like $3, and I could have an entire box of baseball cards, not just one pack. I could have an entire box.
It sounds like an addiction. I mean, I think you're going to give in at some point.
But I have not, like, I haven't bought. I've probably bought, since I was 20, I've probably bought 5 baseball cards.
Yeah.
I have a couple of baseball cards up in my office that I bought relatively yeah. recently. And at some point in college, I bought a box of the set that had Ricky Henderson's rookie card because I wanted to get a Ricky Henderson rookie card.
That's awesome.
And I got 5 Ricky Henderson. Oh. Yeah, that's right. I got fucking 5 Ricky Henderson.
You got the Monopoly.
I got 5 Ricky Henderson rookie cards and a Jaguar, folks. I got it made. That's what I'm doing with your donation.
Did you
money.
Put them in your...
I'm buying Jaguars and Ricky Henderson rookie cards.
Did you put them in the spokes of your bicycle?
No, I saved them to masturbate to later. But I found myself wondering. I thought, I'm gonna ask Brandy and Babs this question. Mm-hmm. Is there any weird, dumb thing that is like for children that has a powerful allure that you have to fight?
Oh, I'm sure that list is really long.
Like sparkly nail polish or something. I don't know what girls like. Motorcycles.
Legos. I love Legos.
Yeah. All my friends in college were, a lot of them were mechanical engineers, and they all brought their Lego sets to college and would build these giant.
To sleep with?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, because they were engineers and that's all they.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would build these giant, intricate things together. They took one person's dorm room and it just became like the Lego workshop of the entire
floor. Oh, that's
awesome. The entire floor.
Shit.
It was awesome. Light brights, I have a big thing for. I love a light bright.
You know, Ready Made Magazine, the magazine of things, little cute things that you can make.
Yeah.
I used to have the women who started Ready Made Magazine on the Sound of Young America back in my Santa Cruz days from time to time. And one time in Ready Made Magazine, one of the projects was make your own light bright coffee table.
Ooh.
What? That's so cool.
It's not that complicated either. You basically what you do is you get the kind of coffee table that has you can either build it or you get the kind of coffee table that has a sunken top, you know, like you would put, and you put a pegboard in there and some lamps and you put the things in the pegboard, you know, you just get the pegboard at the hardware store.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was appealing to me.
I love that.
You can put anything you want and you put the glass on top of it. Mm-hmm. You can turn it on. You got that dope light bite.
I found a way to do the Legos thing that works, and it's called Netbricks, like Netflix. And you order a set, and they send it to you for like 2 months, and you send it back after you build it.
So you just sit around doing Legos at your house?
Well, I bought it for my boyfriend for Christmas, and then we built like a set together.
And this is the guy who loves the Money Pits. Favorite movie is the Money Pits.
Yeah, no, the same guy for sure.
Favorite movie, Money Pit. Favorite activity.
Legos. He's 13.
Do the two of you build the kind of Lego things I have no respect for? I'm going to give you this ahead of time.
Okay.
Because I don't want to come down on you like a hammer afterwards.
Yeah.
I got no respect for people building the thing that it shows on the outside of the Lego.
Oh, I do? Why?
Who cares?
It's like a puzzle, though. Like, you're not going to build a puzzle, you know, into something else.
Well, that's because puzzles don't have the amazing feature that you can turn them into anything.
Well, if we had enough time to build it into the thing it was and then like, I know what pieces I have now, let me build something else. But I don't know. I didn't have time. I just wanted to build the thing that was there. I like following instructions and then seeing it all, you know, come together.
Now, I'm out on a limb here because I think it's safe to assume that there are more people in the podcast listening community who have an affinity for who have an affinity for following instructions and seeing things through than for my system, which is
going rogue.
If it was me, I would have, you know, you guys know the kind of clear plastic bin that I keep my clothes in
yes.
from Costco.
Yes.
I would have one of that full of – in fact, my intent is as soon as my children are old enough to not choke and die by my doing so, just have a bin of Legos and just build any fucking thing.
That's what
I mean. I like that too, but you don't have to
– Star Wars.
I think because I don't finish most of projects I start in life, it's nice to like see a plan and be like, here, the thing is done. I have accomplished a thing.
It's important for you to focus your energy on something that will benefit you none.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
I understand that.
We watched Third Rock from the Sun and we built this Lego thing and I couldn't do that at the same time. I couldn't. I need instructions, you know.
You watched Third Rock from the Sun and built Legos?
Yeah.
That show holds. Show holds up. Show holds up.
It's still a real B minus even today.
No, it's good. I think it's actually better watching it.
Yeah.
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 A B?
Yes. I mean, I was a big old – I loved French Stewart and stuff. I was obsessed with that show.
Well, you guys are best friends with French Stewart.
Yeah. Yes. So, he's our BFF. Sometimes he likes my statuses on Facebook and I'm like, what? This is awesome. There's nothing better than that.
I'm not here to run down French Stewart.
You're running down French Stewart. You're running down Legos.
I'm not here to run down Kristen Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah. Kristen Johnson.
Heard her one time on Julie Klausner's show. Seemed like a cool lady.
Yeah. That show was great because it's the only show that let Lithgow be Lithgow.
Yeah, he went full Lithgow.
What would you say is pure uncut Lithgow?
Because he just gets to be a cartoon.
Yeah, just a dramatic, screaming alien professor. That's what he is. In his heart, I think. Mary! Just like screaming all the time.
God, it would be fun to be on a TV show.
Yeah.
Like a TV show like that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't ask that much of them.
No, it was fun. They really got to just be crazy. And,
work 3 days a week. Goof around.
Yeah, I'll do that. If anybody's out there.
Just goof around. That's what they're doing on Third Rock from the Sun. They're goofing around.
Straight goofing. Just having fun up there.
Straight goofing. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
I'm Dave Holmes, and if you've been missing my show, International Waters, you've been missing this.
If there's one thing I know about owls, they are wise. Two things. They are wise.
Yes.
They love nightclubs.
They wear tiny graduation motorboards, and they love nightclubs.
They also do the best double takes of all birds of prey.
And if you slow it down, they actually go, get it, get it.
International Waters, a panel show where U.S. and U.K. comedians battle for pop culture supremacy. Subscribe right now on iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Brandi Posey, Sassmaster Classic.
I'm Barbara Gray.
From the Lady to Lady podcast.
Yes.
You guys are about to go on tour.
We are.
Where are you going? Pacific Northwest.
We're going to the Pacific Northwest. May 11th is our first show.
Yeah. We'll be in Seattle on May 11th. May 12th, we're in Portland. Seattle, we're also there on May 13th.
You guys also have like a stop in like Chico or something, right?
Weird few small towns. Eugene, Washington.
Yeah, Eugene, Oregon, Salem, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon, sorry.
Yeah.
Salem, Oregon.
Eureka, California.
Eureka, Humboldt, basically.
Yeah, Humboldt. And then Oakland and Ventura.
As long as you're in Eureka and not Wyreka.
Yeah.
Eureka.
That's a real second-rate comedy tour stop. How do you even book yourself a comedy show in Eureka?
The guys who run Savage Henry, it's a magazine up there. They're
in Eureka?
In Humboldt. It's in Arcata. But the place they found us was in Eureka, which
these
is like right there.
These guys are pot farmers professionally?
Basically.
Basically. Yeah. I think everyone up there.
Really cool guys, though. And they've done a show for me before and stuff.
They have a festival. They have like a Savage Henry festival happens every year. So they have comedy that comes through town. Because they all have money because they're all part pot farmers.
Right.
Although I think like
they make some money off of the magazine. Yeah.
I'm gonna get mad if we paid in, if we get paid in just weed.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get so mad. I don't think that'll happen. So I'm like afraid that's gonna happen.
We'll see. We'll see. We can just sell it on the road then.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So
what
come
I
see our show, buy weed from us. But you can find out that info at ladytoladycomedy.com if you want to come see us.
Yeah, and we're doing mostly stand up. It's two of us and then Tess Barker, our third co-host. And we're gonna have like local guests on each show.
Yeah.
What kind of local guests are you gonna get in Eureka?
That we don't know
yet.
What
are you going to get in Eugene, Oregon? Eugene's a nice place. I've been to Eugene.
There's comics, yeah. I mean, all around, you know, everywhere.
Yeah. So you're just going to get a local Eugene, Oregon comic?
I basically did the same tour last year, so I met a lot of people in all those towns and stuff.
I think you need to get like a musical saw player.
I mean, that would be cool. If you're a musical saw player that lives in Eugene or
any
of our
stuff. Well, we got the woman.
You know,
write us
a
message.
I got to be honest with you guys. I don't think this is going to work. Because I went looking for a didgeridoo player for me and Jordan's Santa Cruz show. I couldn't. If you can't find a didgeridoo player
in
Santa Cruz, how are we going to find a musical saw player in Eugene, Oregon?
I'm incredible at Craigslist. You don't even know my Craigslist game.
Really?
Strong.
Yeah. You're going to get up on Craigslist, get yourself a theremin band?
I sure am. I'll prove it.
Yeah. That would be great. Let's go on the road with them the entire time.
Yeah.
I think novelty acts is where – because you got comedy on lock. The three of you guys are hilarious.
Well, we have the woman who sent us the email saying she was a hello fellow cunt wielders.
Yeah.
And told us she
– which is how you should start every email
every
that you
email.
Send us.
I do. You know what? I did that for a while, mm-hmm. and I got really mixed reactions.
You respond to everybody who writes you messages about the show, right?
Hey. Yeah, well, somebody will send me an email. Dear Mr. Thorne, I enjoyed hearing your show on NPR. Uh-huh. I appreciated your sensitive interview with, you know, a major cultural figure. And I say, thank you, cunt wielder.
Yeah, she said she – should we read the joke she wrote?
No, I don't want to read her joke.
Okay.
She said she does comedy
and then she doesn't have video of her comedy, but she wrote out one of her jokes.
Yeah, she sent us her written joke, which was several paragraphs long.
Wait, where did the cunt wielder part come in?
That was
she was
greeting.
Calling us that. She was saying hello because we're women,
fellow cunt wielders. Therefore, we are women.
Okay, so yeah. that's just a
greeting
comedian thing that I don't know about.
No.
Neither did we.
All female comedians greet each other as a fellow cunt wielder.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we do the handshake. We bump cunts,
bump
and then we move
cunt
on.
Bump.
All those of us who are male in the comedy community call each other ball ticklers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we give a gentle circular rub.
Oh.
Ball to ball.
Like one of
scrot
each of your
scrot.
One
we
of each of your balls.
The scrotum.
That's the opposite of our our lady to lady B-side podcast, scrot to scrot.
Yeah.
Scrot to scrot.
It's just a lot of
when
like,
we have our boyfriends on.
It's just a lot of this.
Yeah.
Okay, so go to ladytoladycomedy.com where I'm sure you guys are going to post them on maximumfun.org, right?
Oh yeah.
All the dates will be on there.
Go to maximumfun.org. I wanted to mention something. We have a very special offer at my menswear blog. Put this on right now. This is very unusual, but we have two like subscription programs. This is something that people often think that I'm not being serious when I say. But we have a Pocket Square subscription club.
Of course you do.
Of course you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
I would think nothing less of – yeah.
I travel the world.
Does anything come in the Pocket Squares like lemon bars or anything?
No.
Oh.
Why would I put lemon bars in a pocket square?
It just sounds good.
Yeah.
You just like lemon bars?
Yeah. Just seems.
Do you like call Time Magazine?
It's like a perfect.
Hello, is this the office of Time Magazine? I have a question about your Man of the Year issue.
Is there
Does
a lemon
any
bar?
Lemon bars?
But a pocket square
a
seems like a perfect,
treat.
A perfect,
I need a, snack.
A perfect size to hold a little lemon bar in your pocket.
Is that a lemon bar in your pocket?
I guess.
Or am I just hungry?
I don't like the idea that these – I travel the world gathering fabrics. Uh-huh. I have a woman who hand cuts them, hand rolls the edges.
Okay.
And then you just put a lemon bar in
I'm
there.
Just making sure. I didn't know.
Is a pocket square purely decorative or can that be used as like a handkerchief at any
point?
Should be
decorative.
Okay, purely decorative.
You could use it as a handkerchief if you wanted to say goodbye to it as a decoration.
Okay, got it.
If you – the general rule is if you're going to something – if you're ill or you're going to a funeral – or a wedding or somewhere where some people are going to need it.
Yes.
You keep the pocket square in your breast pocket and you keep a handkerchief in your your hip pocket.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. So a pocket square is more for, like, say you were saying goodbye to a loved one on the back of a boat while you were emigrating to
exactly.
America.
Then you, then you would wave it.
Okay. Got
Certainly
it.
Certainly so.
That's a pocket
or
square
let's
situation.
Say, let's say that you were some kind of silent era comedian and you'd accidentally been dropped into rodeo.
Okay.
And the bull had just been released.
Oh.
Then you would wave your pocket square.
Yeah.
Could, another situation.
Okay. Could you also express you would take it and mop your head if you were worried or sweaty also?
I would rather that you didn't do that.
That's a handkerchief. That's a handkerchief move.
Okay.
Or if you have like, if you have like a cookie hidden in there, then you take it out and then you wipe your mouth with it.
I don't think you should... I mean,
I'm just trying to like make you angry
like
about
a snickerdoodle.
Yeah. Ooh,
take one of my handmade pocket squares that retail for $65 and put a snickerdoodle in there.
Yeah.
And
$35 snickerdoodle.
Yeah.
Look, I'm trying to give a special offer here.
Yes.
This week, you can get a free pocket square if you subscribe to any length of time. You could literally subscribe for 1 month.
Yeah.
And you will get two pocket squares in the mail.
Wow.
But if you subscribe for a year, you already get one free in addition to your six. It's in every other month.
Mm-hmm.
So you will get two free. So your first shipment, if you subscribe for a year, will be three.
Wow.
And that's if you use the code code GENTLEMAN.
Naturally.
As well... Mm-hmm. We have a subscription newsletter called The Inside Track where those eBay choices go, as discussed previously, because basically we have a couple that run on the website publicly, but then people complain because our website's so popular, it drives up the prices, and people feel like they're not getting a deal. So we have a secret one that you have to pay $5 a month to get.
Yeah.
It also includes a roundup of all the sales of all the like websites that we like and stuff like that. You can get a free month of that right now using the code InsideTrack.
Nice.
So you will find those codes on putthison.com right now. Just scroll down a little bit or something. And it is the first and only time we have ever put these on sale. We're only putting them on sale because we just switched platforms. We kind of thought like, oh, we'll, you know, we'll do this. We had to put this together for people that are switching to make sure that they put in their new credit card numbers.
Yeah.
And we're like, we'll do that. So
that's nice.
Go to putthison.com. You can use the code GENTLEMAN for a free pocket square. Mm-hmm. You can use the code InsideTrack for a free month of the Put This On InsideTrack.
Mm-hmm. Would a lady use a pocket square for anything? Is there, I guess,
something with your box?
Yeah.
Like box wiping? Is that something?
Yeah. Well,
Cottonelle wipes.
Yeah.
You definitely are done with a pocket square after you.
Yeah, after you've used that.
Yeah, I mean, you could use it to
wield it towards your
hold your boobs apart.
Just pull them apart.
This is all purely speculative. Okay. I am.
You could do a lot with it. You could tie it around your neck and have a nice.
Yeah,
cute,
I always nice like that look. I always
you
like a neckerchief.
You choke yourself and die because it's not big enough.
Oh, okay. All right.
Never mind. Nothing for women.
You could put it in a pocket. You could put it in your hang it out your back pocket.
Yeah.
That would show what kind of late 1970s homosexual man you were.
Great. There you go. That's nice.
I am all kinds.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just a rainbow.
Real leather daddy.
Mm-hmm. Could you? It would be too small to wear as if you were a bandit, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't rob a bank with a pocket square.
You could tie two pocket squares together.
There you go. Sign up. Get this free deal.
And then you could become a Bundy.
Yeah, and then if you get all of them, you can tie them up for an escape.
Yeah.
Escape rope.
Be the most fashionable magician.
You would. Here's the thing. If you subscribe for a year, you get six pocket squares, is every other month, plus two free pocket squares.
It's eight.
So it's eight pocket squares. So you would have to escape from a window that was about,
you'd be on the first floor still.
About 6 feet high.
Great.
Okay.
5 to 6 feet high.
If you have bad knees, you know, then you could use the scarf to help you get down.
That's a really good
point. Do you have a tagline for your site? Is it, hey, put this on?
For put this on? Yeah, it's hey, put this on.
Yes.
Yeah, it's what's the matter you? Put this on.
Yeah.
It's forget about it.
Forget about it. Hey, put this on.
Put this on. Forget about it.
Listen up, you cantaloupe. Put this on.
Listen up, you cantaloupe. Is that a reference to something? Or is this
Brandy Posey original.
Fully formed from your fertile comic mind.
Just came out. Just came right on out of the noggin. Feel good about it.
Go to putthison.com where our slogan is, listen up, you cantaloupe. Putthison.com. When something momentous happens to you, we have you call us at 206-984-4FUN for our regular segment, Momentous Occasions. Colin Marshall's on the boards. He's ready to roll out the first momentous occasion. Let's hear it.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, go. This is Mikey calling with a momentous occasion. I'm a career zookeeper. I've been bouncing around through zoos over the past few years. And today, at my first day of work at my dream job, where I'm working as an orangutan keeper. And I had the moment of my life when I met an orangutan who speaks sign language, and he called me his friend.
Aww.
This is the best day of my life, and I'm sharing it with you. And now I'm going to go home and take it sleazy like Sunday morning. Love the show. Thanks for doing it.
God bless you.
That's awesome.
Anyone has earned taking it sleazy like Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That's you, sir.
I really thought he was going to say jerk off to orangutan pictures. I'm sorry. He just had a very dramatic pause there, and I was like, oh, please.
I think this orangutan was just establishing that he is your friend, so you will give him a ride to the airport next month.
Yeah, he's moving, and he knows you have a truck.
Yeah.
He's moving zoos.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend who grew up in Woodside, California, which is like a rural part of Silicon Valley. But it's also the place where all the venture capitalists are.
Oh, tech bros. Ooh,
good combo.
But he grew up there. His parents were like back to the land hippies in the 60s and like bought a big piece of land and built themselves a house. And then venture capital happened around them. And so the two amazing things about the place where he lives are, number one, his immediate neighbors, who are, I'm going to say, 5 football fields away, have a menagerie.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
So just sometimes you'll just be sitting in his parents' house. Uh-huh. Well, I haven't sat in his parents' house since like I was like 23.
Yeah.
But I have sat in his parents' house and looked at over his shoulder out the window as an emu walked by. They also had zebras.
Wow.
Like multiple zebras, group of zebras. And they just walked around. There was no fences or anything.
I just watched that movie Roar. Have you heard about that?
That's the Katy Perry documentary?
Yeah. No, it's this film that was, I can't remember the guy's name, but it's Tippi Hedren and her daughter Melanie Griffith and whoever Tippi was married to at the time.
Wait, Melanie Griffith's mom is Tippi Hedren?
I know, yeah. I didn't know that until this either. And it's this movie that was, when they grew up.
Now, who is Kurt Russell's dad? Jack Russell?
He's a terrier. Sure, a terrier. He's half terrier.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Russell Stover. They lived with like 30 to 40 lions. What? Oh. I'm trying to tell you about this movie.
I'm pretty sure Kurt Russell's dad is Russell, the football, the brand of football. Yeah. Russell Athletic. The sweatshirt folks.
He came from a Jack Russell Terrier humping a football. Yeah. And that's where Kurt Russell comes from.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Specific brand of gruff charm. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yes. So they have lots of animals.
No, it's fine. They have like 30 to 40 lions that they lived with. And then they decide to make a movie about it, and it's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
You shouldn't even live with one lion.
No, you shouldn't live with any.
No.
They open the door, and there's just 30 of them just living in a house. And the
lions lived in their house?
Yes.
Where did they poo-poo?
Outside, I guess. It was insane.
They have a lion door on their regular door?
Like
no, they had basically... They had all these ramps everywhere, yeah, and they could come in and out the windows.
Thank you very much for enjoying that, Brandy, because I was having a lot of fun with that idea.
Your dad just showed through so hard. Like, but where do the lions poo-poo? Like, I hear exactly how you are with your kids in that line. That's amazing.
Yes, a big cat door, big bowl of milk for all of them to drink out of.
The biggest... That's awesome.
So the other thing that my friend Tyler lived near when he was growing up is Coco the fucking gorilla.
Whoa!
He lived down the street from Coco the gorilla.
Did Coco just have like his own condo or what was his deal?
Like, Coco the gorilla is a lady.
Oh, excuse me.
Come on.
I know barely about Coco. I don't know that much about her.
She had a kitten. Coco's kitten.
Number one, fine animal gorilla.
Yeah.
That's her famous quote.
Yeah.
That's some fun Coco the Gorilla humor. Coco the Gorilla had like a compound.
Yeah.
So she had indoor and outdoor areas. Of course, her cat All Ball lived there until she died tragically.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Okay.
That was very sad.
And that's that. Coco the Gorilla is still around, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm just getting sort of old and ornery from what I understand.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy made an orangutan that's pretty rock solid.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
I mean, it's not Coco.
Of the monkeys, I think I would want to meet an orangutan of the primates.
I think so, too.
I don't want to meet a chimp. I don't like a chimp.
Orangutan is an ape.
Oh, sorry.
So I'm going to head these emails off at the pass here.
I'm so sorry, everybody. Send them to me, I guess.
Show me an orangutan's tail, and then I'll show you a monkey orangutan. Am I right, Babs?
Yes.
Give me a break.
You're totally
Some
right.
Some people are just assholes. You
know what I mean? Everyone's just an asshole.
Some people are fucking assholes. I'm talking about
it's me. Brandy. I'm talking about Brandy
because she doesn't know the difference between an ape and a monkey is a tail.
I am
so she's an asshole.
I'm a real asshole. Top of the food chain, you guys.
So you would like to meet an orangutan?
I would like to, yeah, I would like to meet one of those.
Do you say orangutan or orangutan?
Tang, which I know
tang
is
Tang seems right.
Orangutan
that's
feels
common
right.
Common usage, right?
Yeah.
But there's no G there, right?
I don't know.
It's been a while since I've spelled it.
I don't think there is. But tang comes from orangutan.
Orangutan.
Tang comes from orangutan. I thought it came from the space program.
Well, both, right? I think that's what they
Some
named it after.
Gorillas?
Yeah.
I think so.
if we had shot an orangutan into space before those chimps, we would have won a lot more in the space race. That's all I'm
what
saying.
What if he met the orangutan
mm-hmm.
and he signed to it like, hello,
mm-hmm.
I'm your new keeper. And then the orangutan signed back, suck my dick.
Eat a lemon. Or what did you say?
Go suck a lemon.
Go suck a lemon.
Please.
It's a popular phrase in the orangutan.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take another call, Colin.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, guest, and Sunny D. I have a momentous occasion. This is right from Brooklyn. And like any self-respecting Brooklyn person, I ride my bike. So I get out of work a couple days ago.
Can you
and
pause
it's
this,
gone.
Colin? Like any self-respecting Brooklyn person, and then you say, I ride my bike?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I make my own pickles.
Yeah.
You can't say, I ride. That's such a I have sleeve garters.
Exactly.
Like, you really can't set that up and then follow it up with, I ride my bike.
Fuck everybody in a wheelchair in Brooklyn is what he's basically saying, too. Yeah.
So
right.
You know what I always say? No. Some people are just assholes.
I'm from Brooklyn and I ride a bicycle.
I rode a bicycle here today from Brooklyn. That's how Brooklyn I am.
We know you're from Brooklyn because you already came up with that great line about cantaloupes.
Hey, you cantaloupe.
Okay, press play, Colin.
The wheel locked to a frame with a note that says, I have your bike and a phone number. So I call the phone number, and the dude on the phone says that he has it. He saw a guy stealing it, and he followed him, saw him stash my bike in a construction site, and then go and hit up another bike rack. So this dude on the phone confronts him. Thief runs off, and he goes, grabs my bike, and brings it to his office and leaves the note so I could come and get it. Now, New York, things are crazy, so I'm thinking this is ransom or extortion or something. So the guy on the phone gave me the address of his office. I walk by, and I recognize it as, like, a building of a major television network. Now, one of my coworkers used to work there, so I tell him the story, show him the phone number, and he's like, oh, I know that phone number. That's a friend of mine I haven't seen in years. So I'm like, oh, this is legit. And I just got my bike back. This guy was completely serious and truthful. He is basically the bicycle equivalent of Batman. And I reconnected two friends who haven't been seen each other in a long time through a little bout of vigilante justice. So,
yes, vigilante justice.
Mm-hmm. As soon as I realized that he wasn't going to say that it was Rachel Maddow or something.
Yeah.
Maybe it was.
But he just didn't want to put it out there.
If he had not set it up as though the moral of the story was going to be that fucking Al Gore got his bike or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not enough that this guy got it? That's pretty cool.
It would have been had he not said, and it was a major television network. And then I went there. And then the payoff is, and everything was as it seemed.
Yeah, yeah. 30 Rockefeller. It was Lorne Michaels.
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be great? What if it was Biff from The Late Show?
That would be really fun.
Oh, it definitely was Biff.
It was the guy from the Hello Deli. What's that guy called?
I can't remember.
I haven't watched
it. No, it was Paul Schaefer, obviously, guys. God, come on. Schaefer.
Can I tell you guys a secret opinion that I have? This is not going to be a secret.
Is it about
anymore.
Paul Schaefer?
Yeah, put it out there.
Paul Schaefer's underrated. I like Paul Schaefer. I think he's funny.
No, I would believe. I'm right there with you. I think he's fun.
He wouldn't be on the show if he wasn't funny.
He's been a good bounce board for Dave for years, and I think he's more than that.
He also co-wrote the song It's Raining Men.
Did he?
No. Oh, hell yeah.
So that's pretty good, too.
I wonder what he's going to do now that Dave's ending. I mean, obviously, you just retire, but if you're going to...
Yeah. What's G.E. Smith doing right now? We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Brandi Posey, Sassmaster Classic.
I'm Barbara Gray, a thorn in your side.
Jesus Christ. What are you, my seventh grade gym teacher?
I don't know.
Why don't you call me Jesse the Body Ventura next?
I can't think of it. Anything. Babs Gray. Babs the abs.
Babs Gray, did you know that that my pretend secret girlfriend's name is Babs?
Really?
Yeah, like if
what's
you
your
know,
secret
like,
girlfriend?
Like if
when you threaten
if
to
I
leave,
say, I'm gonna be gone. I'm gonna be home a little late tomorrow. Yeah. My wife says why? Mm-hmm. I say I have a date with Babs.
Oh, that's great.
I also have I have two actually. One's called Missy.
Babs and Missy.
Babs is weird.
I like to keep them guessing, you know.
Yeah.
Is one of them more of a weekend gal? One of them's more you catch up on your TV with?
I would say they're both like spectacular fuckholes.
That should have been your nickname. Barbara Gray's spectacular fuckholes.
Holes with goals. Oh, that's mine. Holes with goals. That's it.
Well, two-thirds of the ladies from Lady to Lady, has been a delight to have you come and class up this podcast.
Thank you.
Very grateful to have you here. I think you're gonna make those goals.
I think so too.
Babs.
And those holes. No, God.
Babs is such a cool name. I wish my name was Babs. There's no dude name that's that cool, right? I mean, I'm totally satisfied with my name. I think I've got a nice, solid name.
Jesse is one of the better guy names.
But it's not as good as Babs.
Babs.
Babs is fun and cool.
Yeah.
I've never liked my name. Babs is
really?
Okay.
Babs
yeah.
is really
I like Babs
good.
A lot.
I mean, Barbara is fun.
But
Barbara is a sort of neutral.
I can't tell people to call me Babs. That's their, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Why not?
Because it's
you're
just,
fun.
I'm Babs.
You're wearing a leopard print shirt. You can tell anybody to call you whatever
I
you
am
want.
Wearing a very Babs shirt. That's true.
Very Babs. You gotta toss your hair and be like, just call me Babs.
Just call me Babs.
Yeah.
I just feel like that means I'm in like a bar, I'm 60, and just like, hey, it's Babs.
That's what's so fun about Babs. Mm-hmm. That's what's so fun.
Okay, I'm Babs.
You're a young, attractive woman who has the name of a fun old lady.
Yeah.
I know, but Gray, that's old too. It's just like too much old.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's too much old here on Jordan Jesse Go. The Lady to Lady is going on tour. If you're in the Pacific Northwest or Northern California or Ventura,
yep.
make sure to come out to their tour. Bullseye, proud to be sponsoring it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a delight. And hey, if you're in Brooklyn, New York City, where they paint murals of Biggie, I'm going to be at BAM, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, for Radio Love Fest on Saturday night.
Ooh.
The Saturday following the release of this week's program. That's Saturday, May 9th, I want to say. I am going to be hosting a show, and by hosting, I mean walking out on stage, doing a little comedy bit that I'll probably write on the airplane, and then introducing a real comedian. I'm going to be hosting a show with Ali Wong, Aparna Nancharla, Maria Bamford.
Great lineup.
Good lineup.
Who am I missing? Ali Wong. Aisha Tyler.
Damn.
All of those have been guests on Lady to Lady except for Maria.
Gotta get Marie in there.
Just listen.
It's a real murderer's row of delightful comedians. Four of like my favorite comedians in the entire history of the world.
Yeah, that's an amazing lineup.
So ride your bike there, Brooklyn.
Get on your bike. Bring me some pickled beets. Do love pickled beets. Colin Delicious. Marshall on the boards this week. Our theme music, Love You by the Free Design, courtesy of our friends at Light in the Attic Records. It comes from their album, Kites Are Fun, the best of the Free Design. If you have thoughts about Jordan Jesse Go, you can always email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org or give us a call at 206-984-4FUN, 206-984-4FUN. This week on Bullseye, Jim Burrows, the legendary sitcom director, directed 75 episodes of Taxi, like co-created Cheers, directed the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Damn, that's awesome.
Like every episode of Will and Grace.
Wow.
Directed the pilot of Friends. Directed, he's an amazing dude. He tells this story about Andy Kaufman on Taxi. Had a clause in his contract that you had to that they had to give a guest shot to Tony Clifton, his lounge singer alter ego.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
And then they had to fire him because he was too terrible. And so the manager, Tony Clifton's manager, who was coincidentally also
George Shapiro,
Andy Kaufman's manager, called and said, you can fire him, but he needs you to fire him in front of everybody, and he needs two prostitutes, one to sit on each leg while he's being fired.
That's amazing.
So more fun stories like that on Bullseye this week. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.